It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Her roast of Tom Brady stole the show. Now she's talking about it on the latest episode of the Nikki Glaser Podcast.
I said, tell Tom Brady that I'm the Tom Brady of roasting.
Lots of people roasted the goat, but only Nikki is still being talked about.
Every time I refresh my DMs, it's 14 blue check marks of people I didn't even know who knew me are writing like paragraphs to me.
Hear that in all episodes of the Nikki Glaser Podcast on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search the Nikki Glaser Podcast to start listening.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back. Hour three getting started. Live Bet Saturday right here on VSiN, presented by DraftKings. Joe Cirillo, Jared Smith. And once we hit the progressive guest line in a moment, my guy Johnny Lazarus, live from the drive back from UBS Arena after that double OT thriller back on Long Island between the Isles and the Canes. The Islanders keeping the series going. Johnny, the sights, the sounds, the vibes. What was it like game four at UBS?
Well, first of all, boys, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it as always. UBS Arena was a weird vibe today. Like, you know, it kind of felt like everyone had a prediction the Islanders were dead. They go down 1-0 after having a really strong start to that game, but it was typical Islander fashion. They have a ton of momentum, and then they shoot themselves in the foot, take a penalty, and then Carolina scores in the power play, and they didn't really have much going. And then the guy they needed to step up, who didn't have a goal in the series yet, you know, their guy, Matt Barzal, scores a big one in the second period. Great individual effort. You know, the team and Patrick Waugh called it a great team effort in the game, but I thought that first goal was all Barzal. I mean, obviously, you got to credit guys who get to the net and cause some traffic, but he scores that goal, he scores the overtime winner, and he keeps their season alive. So credit to Matt Barzal, Semyon Varlamov on his birthday, I think his 36th birthday or 38th birthday, one of the two, had a hell of a game. So good for the Islanders, and that's also good for my Rangers to keep that that series going a little bit, because we didn't want Carolina to have too much rest. So great game, a lot of fun, and you got to love double overtime hockey, right?
Yeah, and again, we sent it out the last time we did the show. I think it was either last Saturday or two Saturdays ago. You know, the exacta that you gave out, Rangers and Oilers. The Oilers dropped one at home the other day, Johnny, but they came back and looked really good on road ice in Game 3. Another team that, and we'll get to those two teams, which I do think are, you know, you're still your staples in a minute, but another team that was down 3-0 was the Lightning. And they came back today and actually started really hot and then got, you know, kind of got pushed a little bit in the second period, but then distanced themselves in the third. And Florida's been great over the last couple seasons. Haven't been able to get over the hump yet in the postseason. We remember what happened last year in the Stanley Cup Final. Is Florida in danger of maybe giving up a little ground here? Because Tampa, of course, listen, they've had a good run too, and they've got plenty of playoff experience. Sometimes just one win can get a team started. We've seen teams come back from 3-0 before. Are the Panthers perhaps in a little danger here?
I don't know. The Panthers are too good, I feel like, to let this slip. But something crazy about that Tampa game, and granted, let's all remember, I didn't watch any of it because I was at the Islander game. Just seeing Mikhail Sergachev out on the ice and playing in the game, I heard he had an assist in the game. Sergachev, I think 60 days ago, I was at the game at Madison Square Garden where I believe he broke his tibia and another bone in his leg. His leg fully snapped in half.
Wow.
It looked like it was a season-ending injury and possibly even a career-ending injury. And that was after he came back from a different injury. So this guy has been through hell and back, and to see him take the ice today, and John Cooper, the Lightning head coach, really undersold it, because when he was asked about Sergachev before the series started, he said there's probably no way he gets back in the series, maybe even the second round he'd have to miss. So to see Sergachev come out on the ice, I'm sure that was very rejuvenating for the Lightning group, and there was a really cool video they actually tweeted out just of Sergachev going through his rehab, and they actually filmed the whole thing, which was awesome. So I did get to see that. But I think that's something that could be a really cool storyline if they were to come back, right? Like this guy, one of their best defensemen, probably their second best defenseman, second most important defenseman outside Victor Hedman, you know, goes through all this trouble, all this adversity, and then suits up down 3-0, and he's a spark in a, you know, 3-0 series comeback. Like it's a great story if it could write itself out. But, you know, like I said, I think a week ago, Tampa's a team you can never count out. Like they've done it so many times. So Florida is very good, not taking any credit away from them. But if there's one team that I could pick right now that could come back from 3-0, it's Tampa.
Mm.
He's the host of the Daily Faceoff, joining us on the Progressive Guest Line, Johnny Lazarus, my guy. Hey, Johnny, we are just moments away from puck drop in Toronto. Leafs, Bruins, you mentioned the Lightning being a team you can never quite count out. The Maple Leafs are a team that most people tend to count out as soon as the Stanley Cup playoffs start. What do you think about this game four before we head back to Boston? Will the Leafs defend home ice? This was, to me, the most likely series to go seven when the playoffs began. Obviously, Toronto winning here in game four is going to be crucial for that. How do you see this game shaping out?
Well, I heard William Nylander's back for Toronto, so that's a big boost for them. He missed the first three games of the series. You know, one of their best offensive players on the team, you know, a huge scoring threat, so that's big to get him back. But the biggest challenge for Toronto is going to be Jeremy Swayman. I mean, you know, Boston has had this whole debacle of alternating between Swayman and Ullmark. They did it all regular season. They started doing it in this series. But with how well Swayman played in game one and game three, it's tough to take the net away from him. So, you know, I think Toronto's biggest issue has been scoring that third goal when they face Jeremy Swayman. He might let up one. He'll occasionally let up two, but he hasn't let up three yet. So if Toronto's going to win this game, they're going to have to shut it down defensively. And they had a really good chance to win game three, but, you know, a couple of mistakes by Liljegren in their own end, you know, that leads to a goal by Jake DeBrusque. And then Brad Marchand scores, I think, 15 seconds after the Leafs tied it. So sucked the life right out of the building. And the Leafs radio broadcaster, Joe Bowen, actually called out the Toronto Maple Leafs fans, said they were too reactive and not proactive. So I wonder what the vibe will be in Scotiabank Arena tonight, knowing that the fans got called out after game three. It should be a fun one. I'm really excited to pull up to my apartment here any second and get on the couch, and I need you guys to tell me what to order for dinner and watch that game.
I just told you. Order some wings from Pies and Thighs there in Williamsburg, man. You can't go wrong.
I'm not
there.
A wings guy, though. Not a wings I don't know. Guy.
Okay, that's fair. Hey, listen, and different strokes for different folks.
You'll rip me. I'm a boneless wings guy, Jared. You'll rip
boneless.
Me for that.
I don't rip anyone for their food choices. I don't rip anyone for their food choices. I've gotten ripped enough today for me not to pass judgment on something as silly as that, Johnny.
That's shameful.
Yeah, it is, though. I agree. I kind of agree with Joe. All right. The Vegas Golden Knights, I think, are kind of figuring out how to win in the playoffs. Like, oh, did they just wake up and remember how to do this? No, this is what they do, Johnny. They are a playoff team, and they have continued to show a lot of fight and I think a lot of prowess. Are they going to finish this series off in Dallas or you know, finish this game off in Dallas tonight and finish the series off back here in Vegas, or is this thing going to tighten up?
Well, you know firsthand, Jared, you saw the Stanley Cup at Game 5 last year, right? So,
oh, yeah.
I said, and I got some crap for it on my show, Morning Cup of Hockey, from my co-host, Colby Cohen. I said Game 2 in Dallas was must-win for the Stars. You can't afford to go down 2-0 with the series going back to Vegas now. And you know, we know firsthand how crazy that building can get, T-Mobile Arena. So, you know, I think Dallas has a lot of trouble here in tonight's game and the rest of the series. It's going to be tough to beat Vegas 4 out of 5 with three of those games at the Fortress. I don't know if Dallas was probably the unanimous number one team coming into the playoffs. They were everyone's Stanley Cup pick because they're so deep. They don't really have many holes. Jake Ottinger has been one of the best goalies in the NHL in the past 2-3 years. But this Vegas team, you know, like you said, Jared, they figure it out. And Jack Eichel has become, I guess not has become, he never made the playoffs in his career until he came to Vegas. So he's 1-for-1 in postseason, and he just looks like a playoff killer so far this year. And Jonathan Marchessault, following up the Conn Smythe performance he had last year in the playoffs, I mean, this team's scary. So I don't want to say, like, that Dallas is fully out of it, but, you know, if I had a hypothetical gun to my head, I would say there's no shot in hell they come back and win this series.
Mm.
I mean, they put themselves in a brutal position. Johnny, I don't know who would give you a hard time for saying game two was a must win. You're going to fall down 0-2 after having home ice, yeah, and then go to Vegas. And
well,
suddenly
it's not to call a game a must win when it's only 1-0, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, you know, you can't be 0-2 going to Vegas, a place where, you know, I don't care what seed the Knights, because they had a slow second half finish in, it's a great home ice advantage, and they know how to win in the playoffs. Let's look at tomorrow's slate a little bit. A lot of Western Conference action mañana. Vancouver-Nashville, that to me is still the series. I like the Predators, even though they're down 2-1. It's obviously a must-win for them. You don't want to go to Vancouver down 3-1. What do you think about Nashville? Can they show a little life? Do you think they can still win this series, pull off the upset? Because it's been a lot of chalk so far, and I need an underdog story here.
Well, they showed a lot of life last night and kind of got the short end of the stick. I mean, they outshot Vancouver. I think it was like 30-12 was the final tally. So the fact that the Canucks won a 2-1 hockey game only having 12 shots is pretty rare. You know, I think 9 times out of 10, Nashville wins that game. And I know Nashville had a really strong push in the third period, but you got to give credit to Casey DeSmith, who's the Canucks' backup goalie, right? Like, you're asking a guy who's only played, you know, I think that was his second career playoff start. The first career start he had, he didn't even finish. It was a triple overtime game against the Rangers 2 years ago when he was in the Penguins, and he got cramps, I think, in the second overtime and had to leave the game. So this is a guy who, you know, doesn't have a lot of playoff experience, that stepped up when his team needed it most and stole them a game on the road in another tough building to play in Bridgestone Arena. The Nashville Predators fans are unreal. So I don't know how sustainable that is for him. But you got to give credit when it's due, and Vancouver played a hell of a game. At least, you know, bent but didn't break. But I would, you know, I'd take Nashville 10 times out of 10 to come back and win Game 4 and make that a series. That one, talking about those two teams, like, you know, people ask me for series predictions, and I said that one to me was the biggest coin flip. Like, that could go either way, and I wouldn't be surprised.
Good stuff, yeah. Johnny. Go get some food.
I completely agree with you on that one. Nashville was my favorite underdog. Johnny, we know it's been a long day just making your way back from UBS Arena and that game 4 between the Isles and Canes, man. Hope you make a good decision on dinner and have a great night, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Jared. Thanks, Joe. I'm leaning some dumplings in lo mein, so I think it's going to be Chinese.
I like it. Smart move.
Can't go wrong there, especially not in Brooklyn. Johnny Lazarus, catch him all over VSiN. Thanks so much for the time. Jared, when we come back, we're going to head back to the hardwood. Spent a lot of that first hour on the NBA straight away since. Real quick, Winnipeg, Colorado. We didn't get to talk about it. Interesting game tomorrow. Is it must win for Winnipeg?
Probably. I'm not the NHL expert, though.
That's fair. That's why we just had Johnny on. Celtics Heat wrapping up. Boston up 102-79. 2 minutes to go. Don't go anywhere. It's Live Bet Saturday right here on VSiN.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worried he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you haven't already, make sure you head over to VSiN.com today to check out our exclusive articles like Adam Burke's Daily Baseball Winners. VSiN.com, get your betting splits, exclusive articles, and betting tools all in one place. If you want to win, make sure you head over to VSiN.com. We're going to go back, for what, the fourth time in five segments, to the Progressive guest line. Our guy Michael Fiddle, host of the Advantage Sports Betting Pod, NBA contributor over at the Action Network, joining us here as we take it from the ice back to the hardwood. Michael, how you doing tonight, man?
Good. How you doing, Joe? I see Jared's in my favorite jacket, which he wore for me. And Joe, it's nice to see you.
Great to see you, man. Hey, let's get right to it. Lakers, Nuggets right here in LA. It seems like any game being played at this point is strictly a formality. Nuggets only laying 3.5, despite the fact that they have curb stomped the Lakers time after time the last two postseasons. LA getting some respect on their home court there with that line. What do you have for us in this game as we're 15 minutes away from tip off?
I think the two directions to potentially play this game, Joe, are the Nuggets against the spread or on the over on the 219.5. I'll give you why I like the Nuggets minus 3.5. Generally, when you find a 1 or 2 seed in the first round of the NBA playoffs with a spread of 4 or greater, now obviously this is towing the line at minus 3.5. They have a dominant cover rate. It's nearly 60% with an 18% ROI. It's called a first round favorite system. It's something I love playing into. So with the Nuggets hanging at that 3.5, they pretty much qualify. I wouldn't be surprised if this closes at 4 because we've seen some sharp action. Of course, the Nuggets have won 11 times in a row against the Lakers. I think they make it a clean sweep and a straight 12. People want to say LeBron doesn't want to be swept and it's all narrative stuff and he's going to come out firing. The truth is LeBron has been absolutely amazing this series, and there's simply so not only so much that he can do. He's been swept in an NBA Finals. He's been swept in a Western Conference Finals. I don't really think it's that big of a deal on his legacy.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. I think you look at where they are, and I watched the post game with LeBron and AD, and you can almost just tell, Fids. Like, it's just they're just ready for this ride to be over with this team, and we saw the writing on the wall for weeks. I think just getting out of the play-in and getting to the situation that they were in, even though teams wanted them to lose the play-in, which made no sense to me to avoid the Nuggets. This was never ending positive for the Lakers, no matter who they played in the first round of the playoffs. But prop-wise tonight, listen, I still think LeBron of the over on assists makes sense. Jokic still getting 8.5 on the assist number two. And I think for Jokic especially, I mean, goodness gracious. Now, the blowout could, of course, tip the scales here. But I do think the Lakers at least try for at least a half. And anytime I get under 10 on a Jokic assist number, I'm interested. LeBron, too. Any prop numbers for the stars tonight catch your eye?
I'd be looking at LeBron's over on his rebounds. Generally, when LeBron knows that he's going to have to put a big performance together, he's going to come out and grab a few rebounds early and try and set the tone and play coast to coast, draw a foul, create an open three with a drive-in kick. I do like the Jokic over 8.5 assists. The one thing that would worry me is he generally has way more assists at home versus on the road, because he understands he needs to take on more of a scoring presence on the road. However, when you're up 3-0 in this series, and when you're playing playoff minutes, Jared, that's really the big thing for this Nuggets team and why you could back some overs with their starters. Michael Malone doesn't totally trust the bench unit here. And the reason why they've been so successful is because they're playing 40 minutes of the main guys. I don't even think in a 3-0 he's going to go away from that. He's going to want to close the series early, get them rest, and not make them play another 33-35 back in Denver on a game five. So Jokic over assists, I think, is a good look, and LeBron's over on his rebounds is a place that I'd be looking as well.
He's Michael Fiddle joining us now on the Progressive Guest Line. And Mike, I really like that LeBron rebound nugget you gave. You know, what I'm thinking when I look at tonight's game is it's almost giving me vibes of a big spot, prime time, not a lot of other action on at the same time. And I'm thinking of that Lakers-Warriors game earlier in the year when LeBron went out on a Saturday night in front of the entire country and grabbed, 20 rebounds, had one of his all-time best single-game performances. So I could definitely see him being ferocious on the boards. I know a lot of people are looking at maybe Michael Porter Jr. and, of course, the obvious Jokic rebound lines. I like your nugget there on LeBron. I want to move it to tomorrow and the early game specifically, the game that Jared and I are both most invested in, at least as fans, if not monetarily invested in. Knicks, Sixers, that line was Philly given 5.5. Now it's 4.5, maybe a little sharp Knicks money coming in. And the total intrigues the heck out of me, 208.5. It's a total that's kind of stayed the same through now the first four games, despite the over hitting every game. Not really Knicks playoff basketball, if you ask me. What stands out to you in this game, and what do you like game four in Philly?
Before I answer your question, Joe, I need to ask you in response, who is your rooting interest for in this game? You said this is your and Jared's biggest one.
I'm a New Yorker, man. I'm a New Yorker.
You guys, okay. All right.
Yeah, it's all about my Knicks.
I am a New Yorker too. I got a 914 area code. However, the way that this series is being priced is actually very interesting. They are saying that these teams are dead even. It was 4.5 at close in the Garden. It's going to be 4.5 at close in Wells Fargo. So it's a really pick your poison. Which team do you like more? I think New Yorkers are going to be backing the Knicks. However, I have moved out of New York, so I'm going to be backing the Philadelphia 76ers here. I do believe the role players at home, Tobias Harris has to play a little bit better. Tyrese Maxey is so fast, and the health of Mitchell Robinson has to be just as questionable and as big of an impact as the health of Joel Embiid. So I would be looking towards the 76ers. But of course, if the whole market's at 4.5, you could try and wait it out and see if it comes down to a 4. Because a 4 is an important number, especially in a Knicks-Sixers game where they're all dogfights.
Yeah, what do you make of the home road disparities? JVT does such a great job analyzing the NBA for us, was tweeting about it the other day, and I can't grasp it as much, Fids, because I don't watch the NBA on a regular basis during the regular season, but is home court in the playoffs worth that much more? I mean, it's like getting to the point where overbaking this nugget here on the Nuggets, perhaps, but again, neither here nor there. Then now we're talking about the Sixers. Is home court that much more important in the playoffs than it is in the regular season?
Absolutely, because the environments go at crazy. The Garden's been nuclear in the few times that they've hit some big threes, and Mike Green is yelling bang. I think we saw 8-0 or 10-0 for NBA playoff teams starting at home to start the playoffs.
Digits.
However, I do want to say it's a great question, Jared, because I sent out a tweet the other day where I listed all of the numbers that they're pricing these home courts at.
Yeah.
Because we could use this information, right? 4.5 on the Knicks side to 4.5 on the 76ers side. We could use this to going when they go from game 4 to game 5. I'm going to know that it's been a 9-point difference between home and away in the first time. So what is it going to be when they price it, when they go back to New York after this game and they open those lines again? knowing how the line moved between certain arenas helps you attack opening lines the next game. If it comes out with a overreaction and it's Knicks minus 6 or 6.5 because they end up winning this game, I'll know to play the 76ers quickly. And if it comes in too short where it's only Knicks minus 2.5, I'll know to play the Knicks quickly for game 5.
Great advice.
Yeah, that's tremendous advice. That's a great nugget right there. Sticking with the Eastern Conference action tomorrow, Milwaukee, Indiana, the Pacers laying 9.5, almost double-digit favorites at home in this one. What do you make of this series, man? They're already up 2-1. Now there's health concerns with Dame, with Giannis, obviously. Are the Bucks toast? Are they going to be out first round back-to-back years?
Health concerns about the entire Milwaukee franchise as a whole if it doesn't go right this year. Their owner sold pieces like 1.5 years ago. You got to be wondering if he saw this coming. This is trouble for Milwaukee. They're paying 3 coaches. They got 2 unhappy and injured stars. Chris Middleton is balling, but he's only going to get 1 year older. But it really speaks volume about this Pacers team. So the question is this Pacers team, which I do think they're going to win. I think the 9.5 is probably priced out and unplayable. The place that I'd be looking for that game is maybe a Middleton over if Damian Lillard is actually out, because he's going to have to do so much of the lifting. It's almost going to be Luka-like in his usage rate for tomorrow. But on the Pacers side, just right back to the well of Pascal Siakam overs, Tyrese Halliburton over on rebounds. There's a lot of good prop angles to attack this game, despite the spread kind of being priced out.
Yeah, Fids, real quick on Halliburton. Like, I hit his points prop in the last game, and I think the cat was spot on. I mean, he took, 12 threes. His points prop was 16.5. The usage rate really went up. You think it continues? Because he didn't shoot a lot the first 2 games.
Yeah, and I think it was clearly a sharp overplay on his points last game. I think there was a few insiders who were grabbing that and giving that out. On the rebounds angle, if the price is compared to his regular season average, his usage rate and his minutes played is so much higher because he's coming off the injury. So Halliburton over is a place to look.
Love it.
Love it. Incredible stuff there, Michael Fiddle. Make sure you catch him out, the host of the Advantage Sports Betting Pod. You can also see him for all things NBA over on the Action Network. Thanks so much for the time, man.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Jared.
More NBA when we return. Lakers Nuggets just moments away from tip-off. Might hit the diamond too quickly in the next segment as well. Don't go anywhere. It's Live Bet Saturday on Visa.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We're live because it's Live Bet Saturday. Joe Cirillo, Jared Smith. Wouldn't want to be anywhere else on a Saturday afternoon when you've got the NBA and Stanley Cup playoffs going on, a full baseball slate. The NFL draft just wrapped up. I think some people might have thought the draft would have wrapped up leading up to the show in typical day 3 action. It didn't wrap up until hour 2. It was quite the long process. But here we are, 10 minutes shy of tip-off. Just a few miles down the road for me at Crypto Arena, Lakers, Nuggets, Game 4. Jared, I think you're in on a couple props on this game. What do you like here?
Yeah, I think, we talked about this a little bit, and Fitz does a great job of breaking this stuff down. If you're not following him for his NBA stuff, definitely do that. And JVT, and these guys do a really good job breaking down the league. I'm analyzing the market. That's really the only frame of reference that I have. I don't watch. I don't have the context. I'm just analyzing the market. And I like to be consistent with the props that I'm playing in the playoffs because I think you kind of find a rhythm. We talked about Halliburton, right, with the Pacers. Like, I think he's undervalued. And it's hard to say Nikola Jokic and LeBron James are undervalued because they're not. They're priced right. But I do think the assist number is slightly off if you consider the adjustments that were made in the series. And I think for Jokic, it's really intense because the adjustment that I've read about, that I've noticed, that I've heard talked about, that has been kind of the only curveball that the Lakers have thrown at Jokic is in game 2, they started ISOing AD on him, which I think is a tough defensive matchup for Jokic. Like, AD's longer, tougher to shoot over, tougher to move around. And, you know, Jokic can be a little bit of a lumbering oaf. And that ISO, I think, created a lot of openings for Jokic to become more of a distributor. For example, He's averaging 89 passes in this series. And this is a stat you can go look up on the NBA Advanced Team Stats website. He's averaging 89 passes per game. There's been three games in the series. He's averaging 89 passes through those three games. For context, in the regular season, now granted his minutes, probably not as high in the regular season as in the postseason, but that doesn't matter because the assist line has basically been 8.5 the whole season, including the postseason, including tonight. During the regular season, he's only averaging 74.5 passes per game. So a significant bump in his passes per game, but the assist number stays 8.5. It's been 8.5 the whole series, and it was 8.5, 9.5 for pretty much the entire regular season. So to me, that screams value, where the number hasn't moved up, but the volume has. And you could take advantage of this in a lot of scenarios in the prop market. Here's all you have to do. Look up the minutes per game and then go back and check the minutes per game during the regular season. If there's guys getting a huge bump, odds are the prop numbers are a little slow to catch up. And it's not to say Jokic is getting a huge bump in minutes, but the scheme and the isolation on AD has created a little more passing for him. So that's how I'm playing this game. I went over 8.5 assists on Jokic. I feel the same way about LeBron James. Three games in the series, potential assists 18, 17, and 16. And if D'Angelo Russell could make a freaking shot, I think LeBron easily gets to double-digit assists tonight in probably the last game of his season. So Jokic over 8.5 assists, LeBron over 8.5 assists, and then you want to get spicy. How about both of them? The alt assist market will sell an assist. 10 each for both of those guys is about a 4-to-1 parlay. Just a two-game, same-game parlay there. Two-team, same-game parlay, 4-to-1. So we'll look to the dimes tonight. We'll hope that the passing and the assists and the potential assists for LeBron turn into actual assists. And for Jokic, just play a normal game, and I think he gets the double digits.
Yeah, I think I'm going to compound on your LeBron assist call there, because when Michael Fiddle, our guest just in that last segment, told us he liked LeBron's rebounds, that immediately caught my attention. The only thing I was really looking at here was Denver -3.5, because, you know, I do think, especially when your premier player is a big lumbering oaf, the way you put it, like Nikola Jokic, I think that rest is important. And, you know, you could maybe say that the guys take a night off, they go back home and do the gentleman sweep thing, win it in game five. But I do think they want that rest against a really talented young Western Conference. And so I completely see Denver having the incentive to go out there and win it tonight. But hearing him talk about LeBron's rebound number, I love that. And I'd even be willing to lay the $1.40 on LeBron over 7.5 boards. I wouldn't at 8.5, but at 7.5, I'd lay that $1.40. Usually, you know, it's funny, when I'm handicapping different sports, my price varies. Baseball, I'll lay a $1.40, no problem. Hoops, I typically don't want to. And in this case, I'd make an exception. But then I looked at LeBron's rebounds and assists, 17.5. You can get the over at plus money, plus 105. I think that's where I'm going to go in the prop market. Just because, especially in these must-win games, LeBron tends to do the dirty work. And that's why I love him and I have so much more respect for him. Because he's not just a stand-there, catch-and-shoot star who wants calls. And, you know, I mean, yes, he wants calls all the time. But he's not a prima donna in the sense that he's not willing to do the dirty work. LeBron does the dirty work better, I think, than any other star player in the league. So 17.5 boards and assists, it wouldn't shock me if LeBron turns in a triple-double or at least a near triple-double in tonight's game. And I think that over 17.5 mark is a good mark and good value at plus 105.
Yeah, there's first of all, I agree 100% with your handicap. You did a great job. And Fids is, again, the way that he breaks it down, I think makes a ton of sense, and piggybacking off of it is smart by you. I think the thing that will likely get lost in the sauce tonight, if the Lakers lose this game, I don't think it's going to be because LeBron quit. There might be some other players that might. I am 100% confident that you will get every ounce of LeBron James as long as he's on that floor. If I learned anything from him over the course of his unbelievable career, it's that this dude does not, you know, give up. Like, that's not in his DNA. So obviously, the Nuggets are going to win the series. They were going to win the series before the series started. I think the Lakers had a couple moments there in Denver, but at the end of the day, they were never winning this series. I think LeBron knows that, and nothing about his legacy is going to be tarnished if they get swept here. You are going to get a good game from him tonight. Whether that means the other players around him play well, I can't speak to that. But I'm confident that you are going to get peak effort LeBron James tonight. He's at home. It's probably the last game of the year for him. I think he'll want to go out like the star and champion he is. So the blowout factor might ruin the props because he won't play in the fourth quarter. But if your handicap tonight is, I don't want to bet over on LeBron because I'm worried the Lakers might quit, I think you have to exclude LeBron James from that part of the handicap. Because rebounds, hustle stats, steals, blocks, points, anything, frankly. It's the highest total on the board today. It's the best opportunity for you to bet over on points, assists, etc. Because it's supposed to be the highest scoring game of the day. And I think LeBron quitting is just not part of the equation in any capacity for me.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I can't tell you what D'Angelo Russell is going to do tonight, which you alluded to just a couple minutes ago. I mean, no one's been more Jekyll and Hyde this series than him. Game one doesn't show up. Game two lights the earth on fire. Game three, he put up a zero in game three. I mean, Russell went out there in game three, did absolutely nothing. I can't tell you what he is going to do. But to your point, I can tell you LeBron James, 39 years old, is going to go out there and have more of a motor than Russell or than practically anyone else on the court in this one. Anything with Michael Porter Jr. stand out to you? He's actually had some good success in this matchup against the Lakers this year.
Yeah, let's take a look. I honestly, once I handicapped the LeBron and the Jokic assist props, I thought two bets on this game was enough.
Because, I'm with you. That's all I'm playing is the Nuggets and the LeBron combo.
There was a blowout. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not coming at this from Mr. Sharp NBA perspective. Like, the blowout and the props can be a disaster. Like, if you go heavy on the prop market and the game is really lopsided in either direction, like, the worst possible scenario for any prop is a lopsided game. That's why I tend to stay away from games that have really big spreads, although these days in the NBA, no spread's too high. Ask that to the Heat in Boston the other night. Let's look at Michael Porter Jr. I think, of course, my website crashed here right as I was going to look at it.
7.5 boards is the rebound number. He's gone over all six matchups with the Lakers this year, and you're getting plus money on that, plus 102. So, you know, about even money. But yeah, Porter over 7.5, all six games against the Lakers this year. Now, me liking LeBron to go over on rebounds might take something away from Porter. Nah. I don't know. On this one, I'm almost inclined to actually go under.
I don't think the rebounding market interests me a whole lot with any of the role players, unless you have a beat on Porter Jr.'s minutes going up in the playoffs. And I don't have the context for that research right now on the fly. I think I would probably stay away from any of the Denver players tonight besides Jokic. Again, I don't have the feel for their minutes and their rotation like I do some of the other teams. I will say this, though. Porter Jr. from threes made me some money over the years. Let's look at what his three-point prop is tonight. Yeah, he's been a little cold. But again, he had that. Look at that. If you look at his three-point numbers, I mean, he's been consistent two or more pretty much every game over the last stretch, and he had six against the Lakers in Denver. So he has the ability to have a big one.
Yeah, D'Angelo Russell also depends what version of him you get. Same number,
too volatile.
Same price.
Don't bet D'Angelo. Too volatile. Under only.
Yeah, I mean, I'm staying away from anything D'Angelo Russell related. That game is less than 5 minutes from tipping off. But when we come back, the NFL season's a little over 4 months away. Naturally, we're going to talk futures. Don't go anywhere. It's Live Bet Saturday.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we got to give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are going to be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action over at DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook's got you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boost, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use the code VSiN. New customers who do that bet $5. You'll get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code VSiN only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Joe Cirillo, Jared Smith with you right now on Live Bet Saturday, taking you through the afternoon. I'll tell you what, I could use some bonus bets right now because I just lost a Nerfie. First time ever. I knew the more I kept saying I hadn't ever lost a Nerfie.
Who hit it? Right. Harper?
Alec Bohm, not the guy I thought was going to do it to me. And Jared, I mean, we were going to come in and talk about the advantage I had.
You did have an advantage. There were two outs and there's a runner at first. You should have won that bet. But it happened.
Right.
Someone popped you.
You know, Cease put a spicy meatball right down the middle.
Yeah.
Hanging curve to Alec Bohm, who probably wouldn't be able to follow it up with a 98-mile-per-hour fastball. Bohm's not the kind of guy who hits 98 all that well. You hang a breaking ball down the middle, a little up about belt high, and yeah, he's going to turn back to the catcher and say, I'll take care of this one.
Yeah, it
really
happens.
Some pitch there, but the advantage wasn't just that there were two outs and a guy on first. If you're watching this game in San Diego right now, we were talking about this during the break. I mean, there are some immense shadows rolling in this first inning down in San Diego. They're getting closer to the pitcher, which is a little better for the hitter, but they were at like the 50-foot mark.
Yeah,
I mean, that was such a pitcher advantage.
Yeah, and it's not an exact science. Listen, guys, I do the Nerfie stuff every day. I would be willing to bet over the last 3 years of me doing this Nerfie stuff, I've probably watched 1,000 first innings. Like, and when I say watched, I mean head down, locked in, every pitch, living and dying. And I think the general consensus is the randomness of scoring a run, I think, trumps any logical handicap I can give you. Now, that being said, there are still logical edges to be found. One of them is weird starting times and pitchers that have the advantage of a weird shadow. Like, baseball games were meant to be played either in the full daytime or at night under the lights.
Right.
And not in twilight where the shadows are halfway over and it's right in. Like, when you see the shadow, like, right in between the mound and home plate, that is advantage pitcher, because the pitcher has the darkness of the ball coming to the light. And it's like the hitter, which you don't realize how fast, and Joe, you do, you played this sport, you know, it is way faster than what it looks on TV. If you're sitting like street level, like field level, right behind home plate, and you see that ball come at 95 miles, it is amazing. And I always say the hardest thing to do in any sport is hit a round ball with a round bat coming at you 90 plus miles an hour.
That's my quote exactly, Jared. 100%. I love it.
And now you add in this differentiating of light, whereas darkness to light, back to darkness, it just makes the ball a little bit harder to pick up. And those split seconds, when you're talking about a 95 mile an hour pitch, when you have literally the human brain is almost not equipped to pick something up that fast, and now you're making it even harder because of the shadows, it is advantage pitcher. Again, not always an exact science. Hitters guess, they guess right. Alec Bohm guessed, or he just knew the pitch was coming, the meatball, and he you know, smacked it in the outfield there for a two-run home run. But I do think if you are keen on game times and stadium sun placement, you can maybe get a slight edge on some of these early, because you can't apply that handicap to the whole game, right? Because eventually the sun goes down and then it's light. But you can if you're just giving the first inning there and you're just using that 15-minute window to handicap. I do think sun placement shadows is part of it. It's unfortunate you didn't win this bet, but in the future, if you know you're going to get a 5:40 Eastern time or 5:40 Pacific time start in San Diego, you're going to have the advantage of shadows.
Yeah, it's you know, tough break, stinks. On to the next one. Jordan Hicks can salvage my day. 1-2 on the MLB today. Hit the Orioles earlier, -1.5. Tampa, Savali, he's out of the game. So there goes that same game parlay. And now the Nerfy out the window. Let's look ahead a little bit. It is still NFL draft weekend. The draft just ended under 2 hours ago. And of course, despite week one being over 4 months away, we've already got lines for offensive and defensive rookie of the year. Let's take a look at these offensive rookie of the year lines. Caleb Williams, not getting any value there for a future that is, 4 months out from the season starting. Obviously, the season itself runs about 4 or 5 months. So Caleb, only 2-1. I mean, Jared, it's the obvious pick. He is my pick, yeah. But I also wouldn't advise betting it at, you know, such a small number, 2-1.
If you're betting this market right now, you need better things to bet on. That's my only advice to you.
Right. We have a 1-800 number for that.
If you're, and it's not even that, like, you can bet this market now. Here's how you bet this market. You guess right on a guy like Brock Bowers. You guess right on a guy like, I don't know, Ricky Pearsall just tearing up. And it's not going to happen. I'm not telling you to go bet these guys. Please, Lord, do not bet these people. But
don't bet Ricky Pearsall 40.
Yeah, no, don't. I'm making a point of the only way to properly bet this market right now from a plus EV perspective is to pick the right long shot that is going to have a breakout year. If you are betting this, if you're parking your money on Caleb Williams 2-1 for 8 months, can I sell you like Bitcoin maybe? I think you can almost get the same investment in that 8 month stretch probably. Probably not.
You can put it in a bank with a 5% interest rate, a certain account, and I mean, honestly, do better things with your money than have it sit waiting for Caleb Williams to cash in.
Yeah. I think there's no point in betting the market right now because you're going to be able to bet Caleb Williams at 2-1 in 6 months. He ain't going anywhere, guys. No, what is happening in the next? And this is for everything futures market NFL related. And I'm only talking about the top of the futures market. I remember a couple years ago, I bet the Arizona Cardinals. This was the year. Remember the year the Cardinals started 5-0?
That they went 11-6. They were like 10-2. Yeah.
I bet them to win the Super Bowl that year in like April, at like 50-1. And they started 5-0, and I thought I was like Billy frickin' Walters. And then the reality of the NFL season, you know, took over. But my point being, those types of bets are the only types of bets that you should be making at this calendar stage of the NFL season. You can, if you really love Caleb Williams and win Olroy, and I don't blame you, make that bet in August. It's going to be there at 2-1, I promise you. And if it's not, it'll be plus 180. And you won't lose much equity because you've had a chance for the last 4 or 5 months to bet with that money that you would have had to lock up on Caleb Williams. So I just think there's a lot of interesting ways to bet these futures markets. Trying to target the top in April, ain't it?
No, it's a waste of time, waste of money at this juncture at least. I do think if you are going to try to find value, one other thing that I would say keep in mind, you probably have to look for QB value. You know, I mean, look, we've seen it, and last year was a rarity where you just had a guy like Nacua come out and have a season that in any other year likely would have resulted in a Rookie of the Year award. And then CJ Stroud was just a world beater right off the cuff with Houston, and D'Amico Ryans, and just the complete overhaul that the Texans did in the span of a few months down there. And Nacua had no shot because if it's neck and neck, it's going to go to the quarterback. So if there's a QB with value that you like, I mean, you know, maybe you think Sean Payton's got his guy in Bo Nix, that Bo Nix was the exact guy. If maybe you believe Sean Payton's press conference saying, oh yeah, we stayed pat and we got the exact guy we wanted. If you believe that, maybe that's where your value is at 16-1. Doing that now before Nix is a great preseason and maybe falls to 12-1. I wouldn't advise it again, but I just think if you're looking for the value, it's becoming a quarterback award. Unless none of these six QBs do anything of note, it's becoming a QB award. I think the defensive rookie of the year.
Agreed.
That market is a little more interesting.
Yes.
To me. I mean, Dallas Turner, you know, they're your favorites 4-1. Dallas Turner, I believe, if that number is correct. But, you know, you've got some debate here. A guy that I like, who we haven't talked about him or his team's draft yet, is Terrion Arnold at 13-1. To me, this guy embodies everything it means to be a Detroit Lion, to play in the city of Detroit, to play for a Dan Campbell-led team. This is the kind of guy, look, what was Detroit's glaring weakness last year? It was their secondary. Their corners, you could just pick them apart like Brock Purdy did in the second half of that NFC Championship game, and that was their weakness. Now with Terrion Arnold, you're getting a dog at cornerback who's fast as hell, whose ability to change direction is unrivaled, and who's physical. I love the system fit. I love this kid. I think that he has a lot of upside. Now, I also think it's a bit tougher for a cornerback to win the award than an edge rusher. But I mean, this is a much more debatable, much more interesting market, in my opinion.
I agree. I think the pushback on the corners, and we'll get into it at some point over the next hour, our final hour, but the pushback on the corners, you've got to be like Sauce Gardner level to win this award. I would focus on the guys that are going to get sacks. And there's a couple of them. There's a couple of them for sure.
It's just hard. You got to pinpoint which one.
Yeah.
Is it Latu? Is it going to be Turner? There's a reason that they're the two favorites. Final hour when we return. Don't go anywhere. It's Live Bet Saturday.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Her roast of Tom Brady stole the show. Now she's talking about it on the latest episode of the Nikki Glaser Podcast.
I said, tell Tom Brady that I'm the Tom Brady of roasting.
Lots of people roasted the goat, but only Nikki is still being talked about.
Every time I refresh my DMs, it's 14 blue check marks of people I didn't even know who knew me are writing like paragraphs to me.
Hear that in all episodes of the Nikki Glaser Podcast on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search the Nikki Glaser Podcast to start listening.